Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. This is our fourth Sunday after Pentecost. And Pentecost is a very, very long season. But it makes sense that it's a long season because it's the season of our growth as disciples. And on that first Sunday after Pentecost, which we also had called Holy Trinity Sunday, that's where we came right directly smack dab to the end of Matthew's Gospel. And at the end of Matthew's Gospel, we heard the Great Commission, right? Go out, therefore, and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them. Do you remember that sermon? I'm going to give you a hint. Commissioner Gordon, the commish, right? We have all become commissioners. Now, in order to make disciples, you need to know how to be a disciple. So at the end, we're at the end of Matthew. We know what's expected. We know everything that's going to happen. We go right back to chapter 10. And chapter 10 is all about Jesus now commissioning and sending the disciples out. Now, we never hear the story, by the way, of what happens, like the other Gospels will tell us what happened when they came back. No. It's just you're commissioned. We don't know if they went, they didn't go. We don't know what happened in Matthew, because in Matthew, it wasn't important. What was important was what Jesus had to say to the disciples and to us also. And so for the past three Sundays, including this one, we have been focusing all on the end of chapter 9 and all of chapter 10, which is called the mission discourse, or the missional conversation that Jesus has with the disciples and with us today. And Jesus tells them what it is that they are to do. Okay, we heard that, the instructions, who to go to, etc. But then, do you remember that particular conversation or sermon that we had together? It was that no one said it was going to be easy. Quite the opposite of that staples button that you hit and says, well, that was easy. No, Jesus gives us a warning label right up front of what can be expected. But he starts the conversation by saying, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. And that's the work we are called and sent to do. And it does come with a warning label. This is not going to be easy work. And then guess what happens after that? The following Sunday, which was last Sunday, we continue along in the conversation that Jesus is having in this commissioning of his disciples. We learn not only is it not going to be easy, but Jesus says, I don't come to bring peace, but I come to bring a sword. And we came to understand what that meant when Jesus said sword. It doesn't mean I'm coming here to fight everybody. It means I am not coming to affirm the status quo of how this world is. I'm coming for division. I'm coming to tell you that it is the opposite of what this world says and deems as okay and appropriate behavior. So that sword happened to be about divisions that may occur as we begin to understand how Jesus is calling us to be. And if you remember last week, that sermon, which I titled Bullets, Bombs, and Boycotts, was really all about the example of Clarence Jackson and how he started the Koinonia Farm. And how, in a time of the 40s and the 50s, black citizens and white citizens worked the fields together. If they were paid, they were paid equally. They sat at the same table. They did everything together. They shared everything that they had together with each other, which was quite the opposite in Georgia at the time of what the community said was appropriate. And we heard all about how people tried to destroy that community by blowing up their farm stands, threatening their very lives with bullets, and boycotting the sale of their items. And we also know that Clarence would not give in and continue to do the work and live as Jesus called them to live and us to live today. So on this fourth Sunday, we come to the very end of this sending conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples, but also with us today. And at the end, we go back to the beginning. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, you may know this a little bit more comfortably as Jesus welcomes, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Sound familiar to some of you? Hence the reason I changed it up a little bit, if it does sound familiar. Whoever welcomes me welcomes whoever welcomes you. It's a tongue twister. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who has sent me. Now, I think we even heard from the kids and we saw this morning, we know how to be hospitable. Would you say that's pretty true? When people come into our homes, we know how to be hospitable, right? We actually have, there's a term that's been coined, which is be my guest. Ever hear that? If the theme song of Disney doesn't come into your head right now, you know, be our guest, right, from the movie, and then they picked that up. Well, that term actually was coined or came from Conrad Hilton because he taught everyone in his hotels how to treat everyone as the ultimate guest. And that little saying that we may say if someone says, oh, can I borrow this? Can I use this chair? Is anybody sitting here? What do we usually say? We could say, sure, be my guest, right? It's an affirmation. It's a permission. Now, of course, we may use that, sure, be my guest, in a sarcastic way sometimes. But for the most part, that be my guest means we're granting permission for someone to do that. Here's a question I have for you. Would you rather be the guest or would you rather be the host? It's a good question. You'd rather be the host. Because when we are the host, we get to control things, don't we? Think about that. When we're the guest, it's the harder thing to do. It's more difficult. And it's especially difficult if you don't know the person. When I was in the corporate world, I had a large staff that I had responsibility for. I hate to say that they worked for me or they worked for the company, but reported up through me. And so I had a party to go to, and it was summertime, and my hair tends to get a little bit crazier in the summer. And I wanted my hair straightened because everyone was wearing straight hair. And so there was this one girl who I'm going to say her name was Marie. And Marie used to be a hairstylist. And so Marie said, oh, I can straighten your hair. It will look magnificent. I said, okay, great. She said, come to my house on Saturday morning before the party that we were going to go to, and I will do it for you. I said, fabulous. I'll be there. What time? She said, you pick the time. Now, it had a crazy schedule on Saturday. I said, is 8 o'clock too early? She said, no, perfect. So she gives me directions to her house. This was in Tampa. And as I'm pulling up, so, you know, we kind of didn't have the phone like the way we have it now. Okay, this was well over 10 years ago. And so I'm looking around, am I at the right house? And there she is, standing outside, waving to me. And so I pull in the driveway, and she's all excited, and she's like, come in. You know, gives me a big hug. I go in. And I see that everything is in the living room to do my hair. So I go towards the living room to, you know, have her do my hair. And she said, no, wait, I want to give you a tour. I said, okay. So she gives me a tour through the house, and then we come to the dining room. And at the dining room, she has, you know, where it's seating for eight. And at the head table, the head seat, there is the most beautiful china, the most beautiful goblets, crystal goblets, silver. I mean, you name it, you know, cups from her, you know, china, one place setting. And right next to it is a mug for coffee and nothing else. And I was like, whoa, are you thinking about getting this pattern? And she said, no, that's for you. And I said, what? No, it was like, what? And she said, no, please sit. You're my guest. Please sit. I am preparing a full breakfast for you. Thank you. I was overwhelmed. And my immediate reaction was, oh, no, you don't, please don't go to the trouble. And it came out of my mouth. And she said, oh, no, I have been preparing for you all morning. And so I said, okay. So I sat and I said, but where are you going to sit? She said, right next to you, but my job is in the kitchen. And then she sat me down. She asked me what kind of juice I wanted. She had any kind of juice that I wanted. She had this juice, Marie had. And then coffee. She said, would you, I make this wonderful cafe con leche. Absolutely, I said. I love cafe con leche. Sounds great. And then the next thing I know, I was having fruit and yogurt. And you, I mean, I was like, when is it going to end? 60 minutes later, I kid you not, I'm like, oh my gosh. And at this point, I'm feeling, you know, when you start to feel uncomfortable, because her total focus was on me. And every now and then I was like, please sit. And she's like, okay, when I'm done, don't worry, I will sit. And she did eventually sit. And it was a good 90 minutes later that she said, okay, now let's do your hair. A little uncomfortable. Over the top type of hospitality and welcome. And I'm going to tell you something. It was the most beautiful experience I had, and yet simultaneously the most uncomfortable experience I had, because I became the center of attention. I became the recipient of someone else's over-the-top, crazy is what I'll say, hospitality. What must it have been like for Jesus? You know, I walked into her house and I was vulnerable, right? Great kind of vulnerability. But what must it have been like for God when God made the decision to come to this earth, not as a fully grown man to command everything that's going on, but as a baby who is dependent upon the very creatures that God made? The guest. I'm going to say the ultimate guest. Think about that for a second. How was Jesus received? Lovingly by the family, but by the leaders, not so lovingly. As a matter of fact, he had to flee for his life. That's the kind of God we have, you know, the kind of God who becomes the ultimate guest and depends upon creation. When Jesus was hanging on the cross, in a single word, God in Jesus could have easily spoken a word that would have destroyed the entire earth. Because remember, God spoke the world into being. God could easily have spoken the world into non-existence. But God didn't do that. No matter what happened, God, Jesus, was the ultimate guest, the guest, all just for us. God calls us to be guests. Not that we're God, not that we're Jesus, but because of what Jesus has done, we are to point to Jesus. We were to point out the Holy Spirit in the other. When I went back to work on that Monday, this woman, Marie, worked for someone, a supervisor, and then a manager, and the manager worked for me. And I called that manager into my office, and I said, "Liana, I just have to tell you what happened." And she had this big smile on her face, and I said, "It was an unbelievable experience, that I was so incredibly, like, uncomfortable." And she said to me, "Marianne, this is who we are. We are Puerto Rican." You see, Marie had come from Puerto Rico just 2 months earlier, where she had worked at the Chase in Puerto Rico and was now working in the Chase here, Chase Bank, in the United States. And she said to me, "And that's what we do. That is normal for us. We go over the top." And she said to me, "You know what you need to do? You need to learn how to be the guest." And you know something? She was right. She was so right. Because you see, in this woman, I saw the presence of Jesus. And I was so uncomfortable that I failed to point that out to her. I was focused instead on my being uncomfortable, instead of saying, "Oh my gosh, your over-the-top generosity and love and overflowing concern for me is exactly who Jesus is, and I see the Holy Spirit in you." Well, I couldn't say it because I didn't see it. But you see, now I see it. Now I know it. The hardest thing in the world that we will ever be is the guest. It is so much easier to be the host. But it is our role, as Jesus says here, to go and to be the guest. Not to slam people over the head with what we think and our beliefs, et cetera, but to be present with others, just as Jesus was present, and to point out faithfulness and the presence of God. But in order to point it out, we've got to see it. So let's go out there and start being the guest. Let's have eyes like Jesus had. Let the Holy Spirit open up our hearts so that we can see when the other is acting in a way that is generous and over the top, and where the presence of Christ is so very real and palpable. Matthew says, Jesus says, in Matthew, "Where two or three are present, there I am." We need to experience the "there I am" with each other. And we need to lift that up, to see it, and then to name it. And you know something? That's what being a disciple is. You are on both sides, you and I. We give and we receive. So this week, let's focus on being on the receiving end and showing and pointing and speaking of Christ's presence, where two or three are gathered. Amen. Amen.